Springbok Radio proudly presents Tales from the Seven Seas. Stories specially written for this series by Annette McKenzie and Jack Mullen, and introduced by Hamish McLeod.
Second city of the Soviet Union, and it is the most important seaport, lying in Kronstadt Bay in the Gulf of Finland. A dredged channel 16 miles long leads to deep water, and the harbor is one of the largest in the world. But the number of foreign ships putting into port there is very small, for obvious reasons. Yet foreign ships do call in there at times, and in the year 1974, the American vessel Wisconsin lay in the harbor. She was captained by a man named Jerry Colwyn from Massachusetts. His knowledge of the sea was profound, and it was to stand him in good stead. I've called my story Hide and Seek.
What is it, Mitch?
The last of the cargo has just been unloaded.
Great. I'm sick of hanging around here. 3 days delay before they started. So much for Russian efficiency.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Some things in technology, scientific projects are way ahead. They're downright primitive in others. I just can't get over seeing those little old women sweeping up the dockside with dilapidated floor brushes. I sure wish we'd had a chance to get up the ship and take a walk around Leningrad. I'd like to have a look-see. They say it's a much more western city than Moscow.
So they say, and whoever they are, we'll just have to take their word for it. Not that I'd be in any position to argue anyway, because I've never been in Moscow.
Neither I. I'd never set foot in Russia. That's what I find so infuriating. I can stand here and see a Russian city stretching out in front of me, but I just can't get a close look.
Well, there is one point to be remembered. You can't get into trouble by staying on a ship.
What sort of trouble had you in mind?
Who knows? You have to watch your step in the Soviet Union.
Oh, come on. Things are different nowadays. They don't arrest you just for breathing anymore.
Don't be too sure. On the surface, things may seem to have changed, but not underneath. They're a suspicious bunch.
Yeah?
And to them, even today, every foreigner is still a potential spy. And they still have a very efficient secret police, huh? Not to mention labor camps.
You're scaring me to death. Hey! This wouldn't be a posse of secret police coming up the gangplank, would it?
Yeah, true words spoken in jest, huh? That's the official party coming to look over the Wisconsin before we cast off. And I'll give you what odds you like. But a couple of them, at least, are more than plain ordinary harbor officials.
Yeah?
Well, I better get down there and welcome them aboard.
Hey, Mitch, I've been looking for you. Hey, what's the hurry?
Can't talk right now, Hank. Something's come up. You seen the captain anyplace? He's not up on the bridge. I've just been there.
Oh, you need glasses. There he is, right over there by the rail, saying a fond farewell to Leningrad.
Oh, thanks. See you later, Hank.
What's wrong? You got a worried look on your face.
Well, maybe I'm overreacting, but I thought I'd better report you right away.
Report what?
I think we may have a stowaway on board.
Why?
Well, earlier this morning, I left a sweater lying on my bunk. I went in the cabin about 5 minutes ago, and the sweater was gone. And not only that, there was a pool of water on the floor. Like someone had been standing there, dripping wet. And my bath towel had been used.
So?
Maybe I'm jumping to conclusions. I mean, I know there could be another explanation, but my first thought was that someone could have swum out of the ship while we were still in harbor and clambered aboard and, well, found his way to my cabin. The door wasn't locked.
That seems unlikely, Mitch. I know a lot of people would like to get out of the Soviet Union, but a man would have to be pretty desperate to dive into the harbor under the noses of so many officials.
Maybe somebody was. Maybe he just got lucky and managed to pull it off in spite of all the security. No matter how heavy the odds, that one chance in 1,000 does come up now and again.
Well, we'll soon find out. I'll give the order to search the ship from bow to stern. Come in.
We found him. Rather, Hank did.
Yeah, in a lifeboat on the starboard side, Captain.
Good work.
He's shivering with cold. His clothes are still soaking wet. You want me to rustle up some dry things for him? Wouldn't look too good if he died of pneumonia in your hands, Captain.
No, it wouldn't. See what you can dig up, Hank.
Oh, okay, Captain.
Now, you stay here, Mitch. I always think it's a good idea to have a witness. That blue sweater he's wearing. That the one that disappeared from your cabin?
Well, that's it, all right.
It was not theft. I borrowed only.
Well, you speak English?
I have learned English, yes.
Well, that's a piece of luck.
No, not luck. English is widely taught in the Soviet Union. But about the sweater, I was very cold. The water was
forget
cold.
Forget about the sweater. That's the least of our problems. What's your name?
Nikolai Vershinin.
And what are you doing aboard my ship?
I wish to escape. I am a writer. No longer officially. I was expelled from the Writers' Union.
Mm-hmm.
But I write is no longer published because I refuse to disseminate their lies. Yet, still I write. And what I write is copied and circulated in secret.
You're a dissident.
That is correct, yes. Uh-huh. But I can do no more in the Soviet Union. My time is over. There remains only the labor camp or the horrors of an insane asylum. That is where they put people who disagree with the regime.
Really?
They say we are mad and treat us accordingly. Oh, but I do not misunderstand. I do not fear their punishment. But it will avail nothing to join the millions who have sacrificed their lives. Better to continue my work outside. Every voice, even a small one such as mine, is of value.
So, you're a dissident and you're trying to escape to the West.
That is correct, yes.
Well, I'd like to know how you got aboard without anyone on shore seeing you.
I planned with care. I swam underwater and waited till the officials were boarding, relying on that distraction to give me time to climb aboard.
Very risky.
No. What was at risk? My life. But my life was already at risk.
How did you come to find my cabin?
Oh, I moved quietly around the ship in search of a hiding place. And then suddenly I heard voices. I was afraid of discovery. I tried the door. It was unlocked. And I entered.
And you dried off a bit and borrowed my sweater?
That is so.
Come in.
I rounded up some dry gear.
Good, good. I think the best plan would be if you took Mr. Vershinin and showed him where to grab a hot shower. And you better get him something to eat. And after that, bring him back here and we'll go on with our talk. If you'll just go along with Hank, Mr. Vershinin.
Thank you.
Follow me. What do you think, Mitch?
His story seems okay so far.
If it is his story.
What do you mean?
Oh, come on, Mitch. You're not as naive as all that. This whole thing could be a put-up job.
You mean a free passage to America for a Russian spy? I think you're the one who's being naive, Captain. They've got ways of getting their spies into America without the help of the Wisconsin.
Sure they have, but they've also got devious minds. This could be the start of some incident which they could blow up and use to their advantage. They use everything to their advantage. You can't trust them an inch.
What sort of incident had you in mind?
Well, how should I know? I'm not a Russian. But if he's a dissident like he claims, he'd have been under surveillance 24 hours a day. So now, how did he give him the slip?
Captain, I don't think it's really our problem. Anyone claiming political asylum is questioned by the proper authorities stateside. They're the ones who have to accept or reject his story.
Mm-hmm. Suppose he alters his story when we reach the other side. For example, suppose he accuses us of, or kidnapping or something like that. Wouldn't that be a free gift to the Russians?
Uh-huh. You're not sure whether or not to believe his story simply because he managed to pull it off. So it could be that you're just another victim to their propaganda.
And what's that supposed to mean?
Well, that you're giving them credit for super efficiency and leaving no margin for error.
You have a point there. But mainly, I just don't want any trouble. And we're still in Soviet territorial waters.
I know, but, well, you're not really considering throwing him back to the wolves, are you?
Supposing he isn't a political at all. He could be an ordinary criminal, a blackmailer, or a murderer.
And suppose he's on the level.
I wish he'd picked another ship to stow away in. I don't like getting mixed up in a thing like this.
Well, maybe when you've talked to him some more, you'll feel better about it.
Mistrust of all things connected with the Soviet Union. And while he could understand someone wanting to escape, it seemed to him that everything had gone too smoothly for the Wisconsin stowaway. There was a nagging doubt in his mind that it was a Russian trick. He couldn't quite see the purpose of it, but that didn't make him any less suspicious. When Nikolai Fershinin had warmed himself with a hot shower and a good meal and changed into dry clothes, he was brought again before Captain Colwyn.
Sit down, Mr. Vershinin. Well, you too, Mitch.
Sir. Thank you, Captain. And I thank you, too, for the food and dry clothes. You have been very kind. And now you have more questions to ask of me, and I will answer to the best of my ability.
Good. Tell me, Mr. Vershinin, when did you concoct your escape plan?
Oh, the general plan has taken shape in my mind some time ago. But it required that the foreign ship be in the correct position in the harbor. Oh, I thought it would not happen in time. And then, the miracle. Your ship lying exactly where I wished it to lie. It was a miracle. I knew they were coming for me. I did not know exactly when, except that it would be soon.
How did you know? Oh,
from the whispers of friends, from the way certain people began to avoid me. The tension was in the atmosphere. I think they were waiting for a big catch. They wished to pull in many fish in their net, and that is why I was not already taken.
Is this the first time you try to get away, Mr. Vishina?
This is the first time I've been successful, but I have had plans before the pressure had really begun. At different times, I tried to be included in various delegations visiting abroad with the intention of defecting. But I was never an acceptable candidate for foreign travel, and who knows, perhaps it was better so. It is not a simple matter to disappear from a delegation. One is constantly under surveillance.
I would have thought there would be even more surveillance in the dock area.
Oh, there are watchers everywhere. We are taught that the Soviet Union is a paradise. But they do not explain why there are guards to keep us inside.
But getting back to your actual escape, Mr. Vershinin, what I would like to...
Captain Colwyn, there's a Soviet patrol boat on our trail, pulling up on us fast.
What? I better get up on deck and see what's going on.
Captain Colvin of the Wisconsin. Captain Colvin of the Wisconsin. Stop your engines. We wish to come aboard.
Now give me the hail, Mitch.
Sir.
For what purpose?
We believe you have an illegal passenger on board. Stop your engines. This is an order. You are still in Soviet territorial waters.
I'll give the order.
Stop engines.
Aye, sir. Well, I guess there's no doubt now that Virginia's story was true. Here they are, after him.
Where is he?
Still below. But we can't just hand him over, Captain. You know what'll happen to him.
Yeah, I know. Even if they didn't want him for something else, just trying to escape from the Soviet Union is crime enough.
Can't we hide him?
They'll go over the ship with a fine-tooth comb.
At least we could try. I'm sure he's on the level, Captain. And he almost made it. Can't we give him what chance there is left, no matter how slim it seems?
Well, since they've come after him, it does look as if he was telling the truth, so... Okay. We'll give him the slim chances left. Look, go below. Tell him what's going on.
Yeah.
And pass the word around that no one answers any questions except me. You got that?
I got it.
And I don't want the search made easy for them. Pass that around, too.
We have reason to believe that you are harboring aboard this ship an illegal personage.
Illegal personage?
A political criminal. an enemy of the Soviet Union was seen to board this vessel.
You mean I got a stowaway on board?
The man may have boarded without your knowledge. Oh. On the other hand, it may be that you are a partner to his crime. If such is the case, there are penalties for flouting the laws of the Soviet Union, and I would again remind you that your ship is in Soviet territorial waters.
I'm well aware of that. Or I wouldn't have stopped the engines when you hailed, Mr.
My name is no concern of yours. Only my official position. Have the man brought here to me immediately.
What man?
Nikolai Farshinin.
And you claim that this man was seen aboard the Wisconsin?
There is he.
If there's one thing I can't abide, it's bad manners. Mm-hmm. Nor will I be held responsible for any stowaway who's boarded my ship without my knowledge. If your people are so anxious to get to America that they try to circumvent your guards and sneak a free passage, that's your problem, not mine. And you know, keeping all those millions in a lock and key, some of them are just bound to get restless.
You refuse to cooperate, Captain Colvin?
Look, as far as I'm concerned, I'm giving you the utmost cooperation. I stopped when you told me to stop, and you're here aboard my ship. What more do you want?
I want the criminal Nikolai Vershinin, and I will find him, Captain. Search the ship. Two men to each search party. Ivanov, come with me. And you, Captain, I shall require you to accompany me. Proceed, Ivanov.
So what's with opening the desk drawers? You're looking for a 12-inch midget?
I do not simply look for the man, but for clues, for evidence.
Evidence of what?
When we find it, then we shall know. Oh, how stupid, how infantile, under the bunk. A canvas roll used as a barricade in an attempt to hide the criminal. Out, Vershinin, crawl out on your hands and knees. The perfect posture for one of your kind.
Hey, what's this? What's going on? Hey, Captain, what's the idea of bringing your visitors into my cabin?
You see, they're looking for a stowaway.
Well, there ain't no stowaway here, and you've just interrupted my yoga exercises. How am I supposed to meditate with a cabin turned into Grand Central Station?
Meditate, under your bunk.
Where I do my yoga exercises is my business. Now get out of here.
You are shielding him. Where is he?
Captain, will you get this guy out of here?
Hidden him well, Captain.
I've hidden nothing and no one.
Ivanov, take the lockers on the left and I will search these. Come out, Vershinin.
You idiot, you've ruined my film. Everyone knows I use this locker as a darkroom, and now look, whole film ruined. I take exception to this, Captain Colvin.
Sorry about that, Hank. He's sort of searching the ship.
Go! Yoga exercises under the bunk. Film developing in a locker. You think I'm a fool?
You really want an answer to that question?
Quiet, Hank.
You think to play games with me, trying to make me appear foolish, but it will do you no good. You will pay for it, and I will find the man I'm searching for.
Yeah, now, what time is it? Oh, yeah. Well, that's it. Hank, pass the word around. The search is over.
Okay, Captain.
Get all the Russians up on deck and count them. And make sure you don't miss any. I want them all off of the ship.
You are wasting your time with your senseless orders, Captain. The search will continue.
I just gave you an order, Hank.
Sure thing, Captain.
And Hank.
Yes, Captain?
Tell a radio operator to stand by. We got the makings of a real international incident here. Russian pirates try to take over an American vessel.
Huh? You are mad. That is an insane accusation.
Listen, follow me, or the radio signal goes out immediately.
I refuse to leave this ship until I have found the man I'm looking for. I'm within my rights to carry out a search, and there will be dire consequences for any obstruction which you try to put in my path.
And there'll be dire consequences for you if you try to remain on board against my orders.
We are on board this ship legally.
You were. When you hailed the Wisconsin. That's why I have no alternative but to stop my engines and allow you on board. Because we were in Soviet territorial waters. But you know something? We're not in Soviet territorial waters anymore. With the engines up, the ship has been drifting, and we've drifted right out of your jurisdiction. Oh, boy. I really went for your yoga exercises under the bunk, Mitch.
Well, I think it was a pretty good delaying tactic.
Say, where's the stowaway?
Hank's bringing him up now.
You know, they were searching so thoroughly, I didn't think we'd be able to stall him long enough. Where was he hiding?
He wasn't.
What?
It was his idea. I guess he knows their thought process better than we do. He was already dressed in American clothes,
uh-huh.
And he tagged onto one of the search parties, following them around as if he just couldn't contain his curiosity.
You're saying he not only walked around in the open, but he followed a search party?
He sure did.
Oh, I wish I'd gotten the boss man's name. I'd like to send him a letter telling him how it was done.
Nikolai Vershinin was daring enough to stow away on board the Wisconsin. And he had the nerve to masquerade as an American seaman right under the noses of those searching for him. But there's little doubt that he would have been discovered in the end. For the communists are tenacious, and the search would have continued until they'd found him. It was Captain Colwyn's knowledge of the sea which was the crucial factor in the escape to freedom. He knew that the ship would drift. And he knew that once she drifted out of Soviet waters, he would call off the search. And incidentally, in case you're wondering, Nikolai Vershinin was exactly what he said he was. A genuine refugee from the Soviet Union.
You've been listening to Tales from the Seven Seas, written by Annette McKenzie and Jack Mullen. Listen next week at the same time to another enthralling story of the sea, produced by Andre Botner.